Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
We're talking about the 13 tactics. The 13 tactics taught by Saul Alinsky. It's a book that's dedicated to Lucifer in the front and Barack Obama before he's president in the back, and Hillary Clinton. And we've been bringing these 13 tactics up, and I'm so excited to know that we are going to be we got the 12th one and then the 13th and we're done. But what we're doing is we're sharing the light alternative to that, the LIGH alternative to understand. So many people just see a dark tactic being brought against them, you know, the organizers of the night, you know, coming in and bringing something against them. And because they don't have the light of God's word, 97% are not reading God's word in the context of what's going on according to George Barna. 81% are not even picking up their Bible, so that you don't have a light perspective of anything that the enemy wants to organize against you in darkness. So we're trying to bring that to you.
Yeah.
So we're bringing the word to you, and it's the hearing of the word that brings faith. And so I say that because even in the midst of why we're bringing this, the George Soros, the organizer of the world, is bringing in at a Soros-funded group plans conservative fly-in to get House to vote for amnesty in regards to he's coming from another country. He's renounced being a Jew. He's a Jew, but he's renounced being a Jew. He made his money off crashing countries' economies. And ever how the deviance works. And he says the European Union needs to be eased down. And it's already going down, needs to be eased down. And then you have the American economy, which we've talked about over and over again. And you know, I sure hope that it doesn't happen in the context, but at 50 grand for this baby who was just born, he already owes $50,000. It's pretty much, and they're like on the spending
at
spree.
Least.
They're spending on spam. I mean, we just bought a $700 million website. It doesn't work. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
Dude, <I'm laughs>
hey, by the way, for those that it doesn't cost that, you know, it's just, and they hire Canadians to come
Canadians
and do it.
To do it.
They got fired from Canada. Anyway, so anyway, but remember we learned about in 13 tactics of taught by Alinsky, which Hillary Clinton did a paper on, which the president taught for 4 years himself. You have to understand that really doesn't matter, because remember we talked about this, and one of the tactics was you have to have a viable alternative. You have to have a viable alternative. As a matter of fact, that's today's tactic. Amazing, it's perfect timing. The 12th tactic of Alinsky's 13 tactics, which the president taught for 4 years on the payroll of Alinsky, which Hillary did a sealed thesis on in her college, and we haven't read to this day, who is reportedly, according to her network, MSNBC, that they're going to be
her network.
They report that she's going to be running for president coming up soon.
Oh yes,
it could be governor of the Amero. You know. Anyway, so this is the 12th of the 13 tactics. This is the tactic Alinsky wrote when he was in prison: how to organize. In a book that he dedicates, the first one who did this, to Lucifer. And this is the 12th one that he writes about. And it's interesting, he chose to write 13 of them. And this is the tactic. The price of a successful attack is a constructive alternative. I mean, think about that. You know, each of these tactics, and you can hear them all in the context, but I'm not going to cover them all. The price of a successful attack, when you're organizing against when you're polarizing a people and organizing the ones you polarize to be able to cause conflict, to force the ones you polarized against to do what you want them to do, authority, when you rebel against authority, which we talked about Cora and all the crews, the price of a successful attack is a constructive alternative. This makes so much sense, because everybody couldn't understand when Alinsky's children, people who followed Alinsky's teachings, were going, well, we haven't read the bill yet, but we need to vote for it before we read it. All they had to have was a constructive alternative. everybody's all caught up in the actual alternative. You're trying to define the alternative. There never is with Lucifer. Mm-hmm. It's just something else. You got to have something else. Because remember, we talked about on the previous tactic was you have to get the buy-in. Mm-hmm. You have to get the buy-in because God's created you in the image and the likeness of himself. And you, when you get unified and you buy into a narrative, good or bad, light or dark, Tower of Babel or the kingdom of God, things begin to come to pass. So they have to get you. I mean, Hitler had to get a buy-in to the Nazi party for the people to begin to just break loose on God's folks there. And so so then, in regards to having to have the buy-in, the narrative, and we talked about they push bipolar narratives. In other words, you have the right narrative, what God is saying, what's right, and then you have the bipolar narrative they push. It's totally opposite. So you got to remember this. When it's Lucifer doing it, he's about to take you away from something's good. He's about to take you away from something awesome. I mean, for example, in the 50s, the women in America are some of the blessed women that ever been on the face of the earth. Mm. If you look at all the women that ever existed and the life they had to live and how food was acquired and how water was acquired and how family was maintained and how women were treated in the context of, you know, property versus being an equal partner in the context of a marriage and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But they had to begin to push a bipolar narrative to the Phyllis Schaffler talked about this. And she began to say, you know, we're the most blessed women. She's talked about this in the 50s and the 60s. We're the most blessed women ever in the face of the earth, Phyllis Schaffler said. And they're just trying to tell you that you're not. And so women became to get dissatisfied with the peak of being what other nations would consider a queen, mm-hmm. in regards, not king, but queen, mm-hmm. was that it was all the availabilities and things that were there and everything. And so they pushed this bipolar narrative that you're dissatisfied. They got so much more. I mean, you got, you know, and all of a sudden your family's not, you know, you're just a mother. You just are managing your family's life and home. You're just, and all of a sudden she became dissatisfied. Not all, but some. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden that's when you saw, but there was a dilemma with that. The dilemma with that was that no matter what, you still are a lady and you still can get pregnant and you still got to have your child. And so all of a sudden what happens? Sanger, they loose this whole Alinsky children folks, loose the birth control pill to be able to break loose from that kind of control. You are not going to determine whether I'll make the decision of whether or not I'm going to have a child or not. Mm-hmm. And then that didn't work. And then that didn't work. So then they begin push the narrative, and Sanger's motives were evil motives, trying to eliminate part of the citizenry of America based on that's what they wanted to do. But and that didn't work. So then they pushed another polar narrative was, you know, that children in your body are not children. Hmm. And so all of a sudden they push the polar narrative and saying that all of a sudden this baby who you once cherished in your womb is no longer a baby anymore. And so people bought into that. And it's bipolar because it is a child. And everybody's finding out now how much it is. Even the very one that they use. Mm-hmm. What's the lady's name that they use in Roe versus Wade?
Norma McCullough.
I mean, she's right now, she's on television talking about, you know, I was used, I was naive, I didn't realize, you know, that type of thing. And she never had an abortion.
Three daughters.
Yeah. And so, but they pushed a polarized negative of the truth. And so what happened was all of a sudden it was okay to kill your children. Mm. And they utilized with, but it was called Woman Magazine. I guess it was at the time. I can't think of it. Ms. Magazine, because there was a lady in New York that had bought into the lie for whatever reason. And she took a hanger and she pulled her baby out of her womb and she died in the hotel. Well, they took a picture of her cradled up. Tragic death. But see, that's what happens when we buy. That's all of us. That's where we'll all end up when we buy the polar narrative. They push a polar narrative. Trying to push us out of the will of God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then they took that and they ran with it. We're talking about the 12th tactic, and the tactic is the price for success. The price for a successful attack is a constructive alternative. In other words, when we're talking about this journey of how abortion got here, there was an alternative, like, okay, your life, the bipolar narrative that was being pushed of women in the 50s was, your life is, it's going nowhere. Look at you. There's so much inside of you. You can be, you know, that girl, you know, you can be Wonder Woman, you know, you can, you know, bring home the bacon, fry it up in the pan, you know, this whole, and so she started feeling like, now that was being pushed, like, I'm missing something.
Right.
I'm missing something, you know, and so then she began to look different outside of what she presently had. In the context of that, some, not all, because many women were like, you're going to mess this up.
Right.
You can watch it. And I have these interviews. I'm not talking about what I heard from someone else say. I'm actually watching these ladies talk like, what are you doing? You know, and now, of course, anyway, so they put, and this what happens is there has to be some sort of, for the price of a successful attack is a constructive alternative. That's what we're talking about. And so there was, okay, if she's going to be that woman and that girl, for example, then we have to give her an alternative. Let's give her a birth control pill. Then it's like, okay, that's not going to work because you can still get pregnant with a birth control pill because the sexual revolution came and all that. And so all these children were happening, and they said, okay, now let's just give her another bipolar negative. Let's just push abortion. That the kid's not even a child. It's not even a child anymore. And finally, with Ms. Magazine, when they had that one lady that had the self-abortion supposedly in the hotel, it was tragic. They took a picture of her and stuck her in Ms. Magazine, and they ran with it. Mm-hmm. And they tried to use the romper room teacher, you know, who did romper room for all of us old folks out there. You know, I see Bobby. I see, and she actually took a particular medication that caused her child to be deformed. And they ran to her trying to use her as the tool to be able to take but she went to another country, and there was medicines that were taken that I think we probably took crack at that time. So, you know, we didn't know things. And she had an abortion different state, but she wouldn't let that take place. But finally they found
Norma McCorvey,
and they were looking for her, trying to be able to do that. They needed an alternative. They were trying to push the narrative because they wanted to take this blessed lady, this American woman, out of her blessing and bring her to a place that she would be the quickest, most fastest statistical place of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
The quickest way for a lady to be in poverty is for her to end up being divorced and a single mother. It's what statistics say.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And took her out of this blessed place and now has her in this other place. And now what's happening, the government's kept stepping in and saying, now we're going to take care of you. But what happened when the family was taken? It was done in the family, but now, and this is what was going on, that all of a sudden in the 60s, women started saying to their husbands, wives started saying to their husbands, listen, I'll stay with you, but I want a contract, 50-50. And they started making contracts with their husbands.
Oh, wow.
Its marriage was just ripped apart. The blessing that women had at that time in America was just walked right out of it. Why? Because a bipolar narrative was spoken, because you have to have a constructive alternative. So the alternative was to push this negative thing, this call what was positive negative, what is good bad, and call what is bad is good. And all of a sudden you leave the good and you walk into the bad thinking it's going to be good, and you find yourself all alone, all on Prozac, all blaming all these men, because they say 72% of the people surveyed in America said the issue is with America is the father's absence. It's like he was there before.
Hello.
Everybody bought into this narrative in the 50s and the 60s, and all of a sudden he became some, you know, weird thing. And so I'm saying that for say this. And so what do we have? We have now a law that says that you can kill your child. And but it was originally just a narrative. It was a bipolar narrative that we bought into, And then we made it a law. We have a bipolar laws now on the books. And so when you see the healthcare bill, for example, that's crashing and it's not happening, which my heart breaks for you if you are counting on that to work, because you bought into this pushed bipolar narrative. But you have to understand, it's an impossible narrative. It doesn't even work. If already when your child was born, your child owes $50,000 in debt, and we haven't began to even pay for this thing yet, it doesn't work. It's not mm-hmm. that it's there needs this whole thing needs to be rethought. I mean, maybe God's doing by force what the church wouldn't do by choice, but understand this, that just because we need it doesn't mean it's going to happen. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's not another Lego set or doll. No, what your child wants most from you this holiday season is your time and attention. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute, and financial expert Mary Hunt reminds us, it's not about the stuff.
I promise you, when your children reach their adult years, when they remember Christmas, they will not remember the gifts. They will not. They're going to remember whether mom was stressed out or that she was fun to be around. They're going to remember the time that you went and took the sled up the hill and sled together. If you're looking to make Christmas something your kids will remember, think past the gifts. Gifts are involved, but they are such a small, small part of it.
This season, be intentional about your time and money. Make some great memories with your children that they'll treasure forever. You'll find more ideas for your journey as a mom or a dad at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. Like I said, my heart just breaks for you, because it was a beautiful narrative. It was true, but it's just wisdom and logic and just common sense. When you begin, and now we're seeing it unfold, it's just not there. But when you are one of Alinsky's children, it doesn't matter. All you needed was a constructive alternative. Mm-hmm. That's all you needed. When the birth control pill didn't work, let's go straight into abortion. When marriage didn't work, let's go into contracts. When this doesn't work, we'll go in. It's just like, it just always got to have another constructive alternative. So you're thinking, did I just really hear Nancy Pelosi say, we haven't read the bill yet, but mm-hmm. we're going to get it in, then we're going to read it? You have to understand, she's not an ignorant woman. She's a smart woman. She understands what she's doing. She's a politician, but it's part of Alinsky's model. You just need an alternative. You got to get the ball moving. You got to get the ball rolling. You got to get the case in the courtroom so you can start saying eventually, I was for it before I was against it type stuff.
Right.
And so you're thinking now, and people who don't understand these tactics are going, now look, it's like, no, you don't understand. This puppy's still moving. This whole thing's still going in a dark direction. We are being organized, and it's not by folks who you think it is, and it's definitely not, and we knew this from the very beginning of this conversation, but it unfolded as we talked about it, that our president has been set up in the context of this based on what God's revealed to us. That's all we have in the context of that. Mm-hmm. Now evidence is rolled out as we're looking at it, that people were meeting and say, we got to choose who we're going to select, who's going to have a transformational presidency. And they hadn't yet decided yet. And it was between Hillary, and it was between Senator Barack Obama, and it was between
Jonathan Edwards.
Jonathan Edwards. They hadn't decided yet what they were going to do. And so when you start seeing this whole narrative walked out that our president, who you need to pray for and you need to honor and you need to pray for his wife and his children, and if you want to have a peaceful life, understand that there's no way that he put that whole narrative together. It was the people that selected him to put the narrative together. I mean, think about how beautiful the narrative was in riding Lincoln's train, the same route that Lincoln rode all the way from Illinois to Washington, D.C. Come on. That is just like beautiful. Mm. That is like beautiful. It's like, did you see
Crafted.
This? Did you see? That's like, I mean, and it's like when you get, and by the way, and God took me into the White House before, and I was there. And what happens when you win an office like that? You're so blown out from winning the process. Mm-hmm. You just try to show up and catch your breath and say, okay, now what are we going to do first?
Right.
But when the narrative is already written for you, when you've already been selected, then they're walking out this whole orchestrated thing for you. Mm-hmm. And so that was beautiful. A train ride for the president who signed the Emancipation Proclamation for the first African-American president in the White House. It's like, oh, this is just amazing. And then to go all the way down to Mississippi, to that particular college where they wouldn't even let an African-American go to college to be there to talk about part of his accepting of his office and everything. But, you know, sad to say that the high place, that was what they selected as well. We talked about that already. But the narrative was being walked out saying, you know, that finally, you know, what so many people had given their life for has come to pass. Now, the question is, well, where's the health care? You know, where's the promises? Are you organizing me? Did you use me? Did you use my family? Did you use my legitimate narrative?
Right.
Did the people who selected you, did they just use our blood, our sweat, our tears? Were we just prostituted?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, that's exactly what Lucifer does. But you know what? Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's God's plans that prevail. And no matter what men do, understand that if God's people stand up and unite and say, God, here we are, if we turn from our wicked ways, then God will hear from heaven and heal our land, and things can still turn. And I can't help but say, that is so cool to have Rosa Parks' statue sitting in the rotunda. That's so beautiful to have Dr. King's statue being there, although they had to change, they put they other words
it,
under
yeah.
him.
Yeah, they changed it, put a prideful quote on the side of his statue, but they removed it.
But it wasn't him. He didn't say that.
It was not him. He did not say
People are trying to use what this man gave his
That's
life
right.
for. Understand, and it is the price of a successful attack is a constructive alternative, and we're talking about the progression of the most blessed woman on the face of the earth during the time of the 50s and what was going on. And how things have got to the point where they are now. But in the context of that, this is how much the polarized negative, and I'm going to get back to that, has been pushed in regards to how beautiful women are and how important they are, and the polarized narrative towards men and how important men are, that now you have women not wanting to be women and men not wanting to be men. They're not happy with themselves. Mm-hmm. And I was watching just this last week or something like that, this program is called X Factor, and they had a beautiful young lady sitting there. She's obviously a singer or something. And the judges panel, and one of the men was singing, sing or something. And he says, he calls her a woman. And she looks at him and she says, this is a young lady.
Mm-hmm.
She says, don't you ever, ever, ever call me a woman again. And it's like,
what? I mean,
there's men that are like, please call me a man.
Hello.
But I mean, here we go. The whole world's like, and there was two things going on. I'm sure that she was probably, you know, saying on her behalf is that the way you said it was condescending.
Mm.
But you need to say, you know, don't be condescending versus don't put down yourself as a woman.
Right.
Because you're fearfully and you're wonderfully made. The enemy has convinced you that you're not a man, that you're not okay. It has convinced you that you're not a woman. That's called a pushed, polarized narrative.
Mm.
It's the opposite of what God's created you to be. I mean, it's happening in every aspect of our lives. And if you're not, if you don't feel whole, you're going to begin to venture out into the, to explore the bipolar narrative of the right side. You're going to go into the dark side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now we have this young, beautiful lady, and she's probably, I would say she's a singer or something, but she's young. She has to be like in her 20s. She says, for the whole world, don't you ever call me a woman again. And what man would go, maybe it is, don't you ever call me a man again. And it's like, what happened? We've bought so much into this. Wow. Being called a man or a woman is a negative thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to be careful, because that's what's happening right now with Christianity, is that all of a sudden being called a Christian, the bipolar push, the bipolar narrative is it's a negative thing to be called a Christian. And it's like, you better watch out, because the other side of that,
that's
the followers of Lucifer. And so this is how, this is standard Lucifer 101. It's been happening since, but you have to pay attention, because today, since we got to know the light side of this dark argument, that we can easily be organized into some sort of, I don't know, ghetto, train, camp, oven, shower thing, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, it appears what's going on. And as we're speaking, you know, it's reported by The Blaze that George Soros is coming in to the country on October 21st and going to present a quote, conservative viewpoint. And that's another aspect that's been a negative, polarized narrative, is because now, according to one of these organizations that call themselves conservatives, that they're calling Christians, I guess, talking to them, and they said that they would prefer to be called conservative than Christian. And it's like, hey, you've bought into the polarization.
Well,
you know, that you, what you mean is you're a conservative person. You're not a Christian.
Right.
That's what you mean.
Right.
And that's what's happening. They just buy into that narrative. Before you know it, you're off the charts.
Yeah.
But that's, you keep pushing and pushing and pushing. That's why you see all these stigmas. You see all this bashing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just recently, Luke Russert, a host for, I believe it was MSNBC, was saying that the media is so biased towards Christians, it's just, you're seeing it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So now they get that narrative on the airwaves, they get that narrative in print, they get that narrative in sitcoms and on television,
mm-hmm.
and now people are saying, well, maybe I don't want to be identified as a Christian. Really? You're willing to deny Christ?
And it's so important to understand that, so when you're looking at what's happening, you're buying too much into the constructive alternative.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go back and get your roots in the truth and forget about the alternatives, because they're just trying to create some constructive. That's why they didn't read the bill. It is irrelevant in Linsky's tactics. You don't need to read the bill. You just need an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
They're not surprised that it didn't work. The law was passed, that they passed laws that says that's all that needed to happen. Just Roe versus Wade passed. Great. Okay. Let's move on. Mm-hmm. A couple of years, that'll be by law and you'll worry about it and babies can get killed. I mean, all they want is just push the thing, you know, mm-hmm. the context of it. And when that law got passed, that was very significant. That was like a 1973, January 1973 Roe versus Wade moment in the context of it. Everybody just kind of winks at it and it's like, hey, this is serious. But understand the light argument to this, the light side of this, the other viewpoint. When you think about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he was the light side. He was the light in America, the light of God in America, when he stood up and said, you know, that y'all are pushing a polarized negative that says that we are not human beings. There were only one-fifth of a person. And then we don't deserve any rights. You're wrong. That's a polarized negative you're pushing, Lucifer, against us, the fellow citizens of America. And he stood up for what was right against the pushed polarized negative. And he was on the light side of the argument, not the right side. He was on the light side, which is the right side when you're on God's side. Mm. And he stood up for what was right against this lying Lucifer organized effort that was kind of trying to persecute the African American citizens in our country. And so you have to understand, but he had to know what was the light side of the argument. He had to understand it. And he stood up. If you read his 10 commitments to walk with him, he not only knew of the light, he knew the light. The light of God was inside of him. I mean, he walked. I mean, you had to know. The first commitment was you had to actually know Jesus and spend time with Jesus. And Jesus, by the way, is the light that came into the world that is the life of all men. And if you receive Jesus, you receive the light. And that's what I'm talking about. He carried light. And so he stood up in the context of the Constitution. He stood up in the context of the light himself. And he pushed against this bipolar narrative that was saying that African-American folks are not like folks like everyone else. And they don't. And he says, that's not true. I'm only holding you what's written on the paper. And when he did that, God backed him up. And it brought us to the place that our original founding fathers wrote in the Constitution that we're supposed to bend all along, because the Bill of Rights is the Bill of Civil Rights for all of us. Every one of us deserve those rights. Mm-hmm. Everyone that's here. And so our rights come from God. Mm-hmm. And they wrote about them in the Constitution. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Isn't it so cool? All of our Facebook fans out here and our friends that are just connected and listening all around the world.
Right.
You know, if you haven't yet friended us or liked us, I guess they call it. And right. When you choose like on our Facebook, it just keeps all the posts. If there's a post made about what's an upcoming program, a highlight, something, it just shows up, I guess, on your Facebook. Mm. You can go to VFNTV.com and under areas to follow us, and you can just follow through our Facebook right there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure can.
But it's just really cool. We want to say hello and a shout out to all of our Facebook friends that are out there. It's exciting how the message is going out and the feedback that we're getting. And we want to encourage you not only to go to our Facebook and like us, but once you've done that, you know, share some of these highlights. Go to the VFN TV blog and just copy the link of one of those blogs and encourage your fellow brother, your sister, your family member, those people that are in your group of friends that are in your Facebook. So many people need to be encouraged. And now you can go into the wonderful basket of opportunity on VFNTV.com, go to the VFNTV blog, go to the highlights, and just copy something there and just paste it into your Facebook, and they'll get it and be able to listen to it on their phones or whatever. It's just really, really cool. Also, on your application, right there on your Android or your iPhone or your iPad, they're in the menu choice on the VFNTV app. You have our Facebook right there. You can click there, follow through, and like us. I was just listening to Paul Keith Davis talking about, you know, how God said, he must have said to Lucifer, he says, hey, you took one of my best men when Stephen was stoned, and he's, I'm going to take one of yours. As a matter of fact, listen up to this. This is just awesome.
By about 35 AD, two years into the Pentecostal movement, Stephen is stoned. I saw that experience myself in a visionary encounter where I saw Stephen being stoned. I saw as Stephen was dying, he looked up into heaven just like the Bible says. And in my experience, the Lord stood up, as it says in the Bible, but he pointed his finger at the devil and said, that one is going to cost you. And it did. I saw this undeniable link between the stoning of Stephen and the reaping of Paul. The devil stole one of God's great men, so God stole one of his. Don't think for a minute that the Lord's going to let anything get away. And in my revelation, the Lord said the devil would have been better off leaving Stephen alone. But now he's got to deal with Paul. And Paul is still a thorn in his flesh. And everything Paul did for the kingdom, Stephen shared in the inheritance.
That is so awesome. I mean, think about it. Everything that Paul did in the kingdom that Stephen shared in his inheritance is a revelation that God had given him, Paul Keith Davis. And it's just so often you think, oh my goodness, they took this man or woman of God out. And you think, begin to pray for the one that took him out, understanding that God was going to meet Saul on the road to Damascus. He's like, okay, all right. You don't see the bright light you saw in Stephen's face. You're about to see on your road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
And he took Saul. He didn't say, hey, let me tell you, Jesus saves. And if you want to make a decision for the Lord today, I got five fingers. This finger represents this, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff people do. He just said, boom,
Bam.
And Saul goes, Lord, Lord. And he's like, right. You know.
Get on the right side.
Get on the right side. And the organizer became the organized that day. Mm. And it's a powerful thing. But I love that. That, you know, Satan regretted the day that he ever took Stephen. And there's men and women of God that you, if you understand that right, because Saul was so toxic that when he got saved, nobody wanted him but God. But he was the answer to everybody for God.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how toxic he was. He was such a, you know, he was too Christian to be sucked by the Jews and too Jewish to be sucked by the Christians and, you know, and all that. And here he was now having to go to a people and nobody wanted him at first because they were scared of him. Even the very man that was Ananias was going to pray for him.
You want me to go where?
You want me to go where
and pray for who?
Are you crazy?
Come on now.
Well, I don't know if he said about the crazy part. Yeah. But
sure he thought. Right. I'm sure he thought.
Wash me, Jesus. And think about that. That the fact is that look what God did with the very one that stoned Stephen. Over half of the New Testament was written by Paul. Let's begin to lift up our heads and realize God can save the hardest of sinners, the ones who are dogmatically set against him, that if we'll pray for those that are held captive by darkness, God can set them free on the road to Damascus while they're riding their horse. God can knock them off their horse and show them his awesomeness, and they will immediately give up their ability to organize and say, organize me.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. And so you're talking about this. Well, the question is, well, what do you do when they have these constructive alternatives? Well, you got to find out what the right side is. You got to find out what the light side is. You got to get in the Word of God. You got to start hanging out with like people who walk in the light. You got to pray together. You got to seek God and say, you know, what's happening here? Because I think the narrative of wanting to make sure every person's medical needs taken care of is a light narrative. But the methodology and the way that they're going about it is a dark narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, and since they're not going to be able to provide it, they're just using that narrative, the price of a successful attack to be organized is a constructive alternative. In every single way, when you look at the Jews and the way they were treated, oh, we're just trying to help you. You know, we've constructed you your own place because now that, you know, people are talking bad about you, want to hurt you, we have your own community. It's in the future, it'll be called a ghetto, but we're not going to call it that now. And we're going to bring you into this ghetto. And then after you buy into that alternative, it's going to go, now we have another area. We're going to concentrate you into another area. But so you got to first buy into that narrative. And it's like, if you just stop following darkness and allowing darkness to organize you, and that's what Alinsky's children are doing, whatever they do, listen, if you know them by their fruit, and people can do whatever they want to. This is not a political conversation. This is a church conversation. That's who we're talking to. If my people, God says, who call by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, our stuff that we've done wrong, our dark stuff, and say, God, forgive us. God, we've done this. We're the ones who brought this. He says, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. Mm. And these other folks who are organizers of the night, you know, they'll just have to line up with the day, because the day will begin to organize America again. Because there was a day. The day organized this country, when God truly was placed as the Lord of this country, and darkness is creeping in because it's in the heart of God's people. Listen, this 11th tactic can be counteracted by finding out what your roots are in the light. So when this constructive alternatives come up and they're dark alternatives, you can easily know what a lie is because you know the truth. If you know the truth, then you know what a lie is. But if you don't even know what the truth is, how do you know when they're lying to you? And by the way, if they want to deceive you, they're going to give you a real pretty lie, a lie that benefits you in some way, some lie that makes you feel like you got a future when you really don't. some lie that they personally don't even know why they're probably telling you, but Lucifer knows why, because the end of it's not good. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's Lucifer's techniques in the context of that. And so the 12th tactic, the way we defeat it, the only way you can defeat it is through humility, which means you are in the light. You're in the truth. You're getting in the Word of God. You're abiding with God. And so when weird things happen like this that make no logical sense, your spirit man goes, ah, this is one of Alinsky's children. This is Korah. Korah's rebellion. Oh, that's Absalom. He's obviously trying to take over his father's. Oh, that's, you know, you just know. Mm-hmm. You just know. They got to have a constructive alternative because you as a human being are creating the image and the likeness of God, and they have to get you to buy into it, and it has to make sense to you. And once it makes sense to you, even if it's the Tower of Babel, when you start buying into it, guess what? Hello, Nazi party. We were just talking about how John really enjoys watching the X Factor.
Yeah.
It was amazing to watch that they are worship leaders from churches that are there.
Yeah.
And they're wanting, you know, this worldly father to recognize them, and they're almost in tears if he says anything positive about them. And then all of a sudden, because they're thinking, you know, he's going to mold me and he's going to shape me. He's like, what happened to God?
Exactly.
What happened to God? You know, it's like, but the church, you know, where's the church? To me, it looks like the church.
Yeah.
You know, in the context of that. And, but I won't talk about John's favorite show. But isn't that an interesting tactic? Doesn't it make sense? When you think about the healthcare bill, you think you're not going to read it, but you're going to pass it. And it's like, oh, all they needed to have a successful attack was to have a creative alternative. That was it. So you're always notice there's always an alternative. There's always something else, you know, and it's all, and understand that's the enemy trying to get you out of a right place. You got to find out, don't just start getting in your car, driving somewhere. Don't all of a sudden leave your marriage. Don't all of a sudden leave your job. Don't all of a sudden, you know, leave your beliefs. Get into the Word of God and find out what God says about that before you start making any moves. Because there's a reason why Lucifer is called the deceiver. And deception is this. When you think what you're doing is right, when you're wrong. And John G. Lake writes in his, John, I'll tell you, Fear of the Lord.
John Bevere
writes in his book, about deception, and he says it really, I mean, I've seen it happen in the context of it, but it's true. He writes this, he says, the longer you are deceived, the thicker the veil gets, the harder it is to talk to someone. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
God is putting together today, establishing apostolic centers. He has established and is establishing for this next generation, this next season. We refer to them as apostolic centers or hubs, and we've talked about them before. But I want you to listen right now to Paul Keith Davis as he speaks about it prophetically as it's happening. Listen up.
We're living in the hour right now where the angels that gather message is relevant, where storehouses are being identified. Let's call them apostolic resource centers. Let's call them freedom outpost centers, as Chuck Pierce does, whatever you want to call it. The Antioch type of a model for ministry is relevant right now. Places are being identified. Leadership is being identified. The hearts of men are being examined by the eyes of the Lord, roving to and fro to see whose heart is completely His, so that He may strongly support them. And when he does find what he's looking for, he's going to give them authority. He's going to give them authority. Their words are going to have weight. They're going to begin to change the environment. They'll change the atmosphere. They'll prophesy something. We're living in an hour now where prophecy is not optional. It is mandatory. 1 Corinthians 14, you may prophesy. But I'm over in Revelation right now. Revelation 10, you must prophesy. You must prophesy again concerning many nations, tongues, tribes, and kingdoms. Why? Because the Lord has a harvest to bring in. He has a bride to awaken. He has sons of the kingdom to empower. We have some work to do. The Father's business needs to be done. And so I know that these places, Antioch was probably the purest model to what we're going to see today. Jerusalem, of course, was the first model. But it was primarily Jewish, as you know. But when Stephen was stoned, the Bible says the disciples were scattered. They went to Cyprus and settled primarily in Antioch. And all of a sudden now, the Spirit fell again in Antioch, and it became an apostolic hub where Barnabas went and found Saul of Tarsus, or Paul, brought him back there. They made that their base. They went on three missionary journeys out of Antioch. Antioch became the place where the people were first called Christ people, because they were so much like the Lord. They were identified with Him and His name. Isn't that amazing? And I believe these new models that are about to come today, these prophetic models of apostolic resource centers, of storehouses, of freedom outpost centers, will redefine the Christian definition. You'll be a Christ person. You'll be a person like Christ. John G. Lake had four experiences. On the fourth one, when the glory of the Lord came in and upon him, he said, I became a Christ man. Isn't that amazing? He said, now I didn't just have his power, I expressed his radiant nature. Wow, that blew me away when I read that way back in the 90s when I had my experience on Thrones of the Soul. And so I know the apostolic resource centers this year are being identified, places that will be given authority. We're going to win people in. We're going to go out into the wheat fields that surround the storehouse. We're going to prophesy people in. Our intercession will not just simply be intercession now. It'll be proclamation. It'll be decrees. It'll be taking authority, saying, bring them in. We're claiming them right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give them up. You know, addiction, give them up. Pornography, give them up. Whatever it is, you got to give them up. Why? Because he's given you authority to overcome, authority to destroy these shackles that have held this harvest in at bay. And they're going to come in. And when they do, we're going to train them. We're going to be given this incredible grace to train and facilitate their not only being set free of all the stuff, but also to lay a foundation of truth in them that will be so fast and so rapid it will scare you.
VFN Dream Center, think about this. An apostolic center on the Gulf Coast for the purpose of reaching the world. This is what was said, I believe, by Dr. Michael Brown. If you want to do something for God, find out what God is doing and dive in. Give yourself fully to it. Listen, this is what God is doing in the earth. He's establishing apostolic centers throughout the nation and throughout the world. It is time for us to arise and shine, for our light has come. Maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe it is. Go to VFNDreamCenter.org. There is nothing, I mean nothing, Pat, worse than man's religion.
Yeah.
You know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God. Which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk to you.
Right.
You know, and people want, they want this. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this,
right,
you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something, you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you.
Mm-hmm.
You can write your own devotional. Listen,
right,
just try it for 6 weeks. Just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin. Because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time, at a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you. Mm-hmm. You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. So deception is not something you play with, because you have to understand at some point you can get, that veil can get so thick on you that you can no longer, it just doesn't, your brain can't see anymore. You can't think right anymore. And the devil, it's a spiritual deception cloud. Even the very elect could be deceived. Great deception is going to come. And so the key, the way to be able to defeat that particular tactic is to get in the light. Because Jesus said, or Paul's writing to the church of Corinthians, says that their minds are blinded by the god of this world, the deceiver. And he's talking about the unbeliever. It's like, okay, if us as believers, then we got to make sure that we don't get our minds blinded. You know, forget about putting a blindfold over your eyes. You can actually walk around seeing with your eyes, but your mind can be totally blind. And if we have an undiscipled church, think about it. And we're not reading the Bible. We say that all the time because you're supposed to read it. People gave their life. I mean, it's just amazing what God did to make sure you can get it. And my goodness, wake up, church. Wake up, get in the Word, stop all the distractions, and focus. Focus and realize that this is serious stuff. When you hear one of Alinsky's children, George Soros, who happens to be made, I don't know, 100-something, 300-something million dollars in a couple hours, whatever it was, because of the fall of a nation. And he's coming to convince your representative. So you understand, when he's, this is what they're reporting, is that he's flying in conservatives. He's funding the group to be able to fly in. By the way, which Zuckerberg is, he's an investor with Facebook. And so you got Zuckerberg and George Soros and, hang on. Listen, you're going to be so, if you're looking at the right hand, it's the left hand that's really going, something's going on over here. But the thing about it, don't look at either hands. Don't look at either hands. Look into the Word of God and look up, you know. And if you haven't yet, God, you got to get the teaching, you know, facing impossible odds with God brings possible victories from your adversary. And there's a key, there's a strategy, there's a thing. Understand, this is all happening because of the church. You know, what God's people have allowed in our lives, but we can unallow that. We can begin to say, I'm sorry, God, and turn back to God. But when you have, you know, George Soros coming in on October the 21st, I believe it says, to talk to the Congress about amnesty, you have to understand that is you. That's your representatives. That's why it's called representative government. So what you do is you have George coming in to talk to you. The problem is you're not going to be there. The second problem is your representatives seldom represent you anymore. You know, that there's very few, and the few that do, they actually persecute those guys who actually stand up to go back to their communities, and they're getting a round of applause in their communities, but in Washington, D.C., they persecute the guys. So George is coming to talk to you, about your future, about your borders, about amnesty, about the what's happening right now, and our borders have been flooded. This whole thing's been set up, by the way, reportedly. And I don't know how much time we have left in the context of it. It's all happening like clockwork. But I do know this. Yeah, we've been preaching to a lot of people who thought they had no need of nothing. When we were trying to say, no, but you're poor, naked, and blind. And I think we're about to find out. Everybody's going to find out where we're at. And understand this. What we've seen is the greatest harvest that we've ever, ever seen. I'm just a huge harvest of people running to God that you're not even going to have to even articulate and finish. You know, it's sort of like the Browns revival that people were ready to come. All that Steve had to do was itch his nose and say, come, you know. And, you know, every night they would just come because God was drawing them to himself. And so God's about to draw a people to himself like never before. And we've just been preparing. That's what we've been doing, is preparing. And the question was, when God was showing me this vision, the question was, well, can we absorb this? And of course, in the middle of that, I thought, who cares? Come, you know? And then he showed us more and more of what's happening. And these stadiums that you see everywhere that are playing ball games in today, well, I got news for you. According to a prophetic word given by John Paul Jackson, the NFL is going to be stuck. They're not going to know what to do because of what's about to happen. So you're going to have all these stadiums just waiting for what? For the church to gather. And all of a sudden, they're just filled. Buildings, listen, it's so outside of you and your building. You know, God's not out of his mind. He's just out of your mind.
Right.
He wants to redeem the earth, the people and the earth. And so the stadiums are going to be filled with men and women crying out to God, this roaring, you know, church that's just crying out, and it's going to polarize. It's going to saturate neighborhoods and communities, and the church is going to rise up, and it's going to be the spirit of Elijah just preparing the way for the Lord as he comes. I'm telling you that you're about to enter into a season of the church has never even pondered before how awesome it's going to be. And understand this, yeah, with it, you're going to have all these organizers of the dark, organizers that don't worry about that, because you're a child of the day. You are already sitting in the heavenly realm with the Creator. You're already sitting with Christ in the heavenly realm. Your body just hadn't caught up yet. Listen, we've already won this thing already. If you stay faithful to God, you've already won it. Now it's time to walk out the light. Be the light of the world. He's commanded us to be the light of the world. Listen, these stadiums today that are filled with NFL football players and these stadiums that are filled with baseball players are going to be filled with people crying out to God.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Because the buildings will not be able to contain the harvest, and the church is going to have to arise and begin to be the church that he's trained us up and launched us out to be. These are exciting, exciting days that are unfolding on the face of the earth. And what we tell you is we've been preparing for some time now. As the church sleeps.
The $50 Eye Guy, where they have everything from wrecks to specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit the $50 Eye Guy today so you can see. Cordova Lanes in Pensacola, not just your ordinary bowling alley, it's your community center that is perfect for family gatherings, school field trips, church socials, networking opportunities, and so much more. Come visit and strike with us today. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape. He'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Amazing Automotive. Serving all of your automotive needs for over 30 years. Where their motto is, if it flies, floats, or rolls, we can work on it. On the corner of Hollywood and Marietta Boulevard. Come, bring your vehicle in today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.